It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Hello and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. My name is Blue. Alongside of me is Joe Grande and the Pot Brothers at Law, Mark and Craig Wasserman. Joe, let us know what's going down on the show, bud.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for listening to the podcast all around the world. We greatly appreciate you guys. And truly do. Love all the voicemails that we get that you send us. 1-800-420-1980. That's 800-420-1980 from anywhere around the world. Whether you have to put in the country code or not, I'm sure you do. And I don't know our country code. Do you know it? 01, is it? I don't know what our country
good
code
question.
Is. That is a good question.
Is it 01?
I think so. Yeah. It is 01, right? Yeah, I think
so. So 01-1-800-420-1980.
I think so. Maybe, depending on where you're calling from. But it's, and then I don't know if that now becomes a free call if it's a 1-800 number from out of the country. Maybe I'll look into that. Either way, thank you guys for listening to that. Make sure you check out our website at Cannabis Talk 101 and follow us on all social media at Cannabis Talk 101. You can follow the Pot Brothers at Pot_Brothers_@_Law. Mark is at Waslaw. Craig is at Waslaw Dog. Blue is at 1 Christopher Wright.
Hello.
I am at Joe Grande 52. And Cannabis Talk 101 will be in Houston, Texas, October 9th and 10th at the Counterculture Convention, otherwise known as C3, at George Brown Convention Center. Blue, I'm excited to be out there in October.
Man.
It's
going
to be a great time. So it's going to be really cool because Houston doesn't get a lot of big attention for a bunch of cannabis, as you don't know or do know. You know, the THC is no-no there. So we
it
can
is
only
a big
breathe
no-no.
Like a big no-no. So we ain't going there with no THC.
Well, I might have my viscous vape there living the ride. I mean, you know, maybe...
You know what? I think we might have a few of those.
Like that.
That's even a
Cali FX connector, whatever. You know, here's the thing. You know, you could have Delta 8 there right now, and I think that's a big portion of why a lot of people are going, because Delta 8's not regulated. So being able to, you know, have the Delta 8 is something special for a lot of those folks that are looking for.
Yeah, so we're going to be out there, and we look forward to seeing you guys out there. I mean, Blue, you missed the other few days as we were recording. I didn't get a chance to talk about with you. How special was it to go to Big Boy's event when he got that star on the Walk of Fame? That was the last time we did some stuff, and then we came back and did the show on Thursday, and you weren't there. I don't know what's... Volume is coming out. Where's that coming from?
Oh, is that volume? Me?
Is that
your
pocket?
Me? Oh, that's my pocket. I'm in the clubhouse sitting and stretching it out, man.
I'm like, what's this noise coming from? I see Pitt looking around too, going, where's this volume?
You know, it's all the way up too for some reason. Let me just turn it back. Hey, guys. I don't know why you guys are all loud. Let me just cut out of it. Here we go. I was trying to hang in there, but Allie, I'm sorry. You know, I've got
to. Trying to do
I've
a show
go.
And be a part of another show at the same time and support another
man.
Show. It's like we're trying to do
it's
all kinds
our
of shows.
Show on another
That's what
platform.
I mean. It's all kind of do all kinds of shows.
Yeah.
But anyways, we had a great time over there with Big, as Big was just at the football game too the other day. Last night I seen him at the big kickoff over here in Los Angeles for the Rams. He was sitting front row, which was kind of dope. They showed him on the big broadcast. So shout out to you, Big Boy. Always love you. I got
love
a good story.
Boy.
I got a good story for you, Blue. This is Going Green, and just the title alone, it's gonna be a bloodbath. Epic marijuana oversupply is flooding California. If you want to get into the cannabis industry in California, well, more than $5 billion worth of legal adult use cannabis is on pace to be sold this year, according to tax figures. And you want to do it quickly. Don't bother with selling adult use cannabis. Instead, you want to grow it. Most cities in the state still don't allow retail adult use sales. Many of those, though, that do cap the number of dispensaries allowed within city limits. And almost everyone is running a retail storefront, says that high taxes and the abundance of cheap illicit market weed is killing them. It's not a good way to make money. The quickest way to get into the cannabis business, then, is to get a cultivation permit and start growing massive amounts of cannabis. That's what big companies in the Salinas Valley and Santa Barbara County did, and what they've done. According to interviews with industry experts, the grow is entirely too much of cannabis, and which is great if you think about it, going, what? Yep, just start growing it. Exactly. The exact figures are not known, but according to one rough estimate, California's legal cultivators grow more than three times as much cannabis as sold in legal dispensaries. So we know what that tells everybody, right, folks? If they're growing three times the amount of what's in legal cannabis stores, there's a lot of cannabis being sold in the black market. Way more than that's being sold in the legal market. Whatever that exact figure is, the common belief is that it's so much cannabis that the market is flooded. Prices are crashing, and legal growers in the red this year may finally be forced out of business. It's going to be a bloodbath, said one industry leader who works in wholesale sales and distribution, speaking on conditions and anonymity in order to speak freely. So they're not talking out so much, but this is what they're saying, and this is what some growers are saying. Exactly how much cannabis is grown within the state of California is still a state secret, known only to state regulators and select elected officials, but using available data, you could hit at some estimates. According to the most recent public estimate published in 2017, the state's appetite for cannabis is about 2.3 million pounds.
A year? Is that per year?
Since 2017, that's what they're saying. And this is not really including the black market, folks. 2.3 million pounds. That includes medical and adult use consumption, right? So they're just saying this is what they figured out in 2017. It's 2021 right now.
You know,
so that's grown. That's roughly consistent with the amount of cannabis on which the State Department and tax and free administrations reported collecting cultivation taxes between July 2020 and July 2021, according to the most recent data available. So all that stuff's there, but in mid-2021, the state may be producing up to three times as much of the cannabis as the state can consume, according to some new data that's coming out of Humboldt County Growers Alliance. So obviously you've heard us talk about the Humboldt County. You guys know that's where it's at. But that estimate comes from tallying up the total acreage and permitted growers registered with the State Department of Cannabis Control when the total acreage of indoor grows, outdoor grows, and mixed-use grows are tallied up. The permitted and legal cultivation capacity in the state tops 6 million pounds. All that being said, it is crazy to think that that comes up to 6 million pounds. And as you know, Blue, in these areas of Humboldt, there's tons of spots that you can go deep into these woods where they used to be growing weed way back in the days that weren't the legal spots.
They're still doing it.
Yeah. And still aren't the legal spots. So the legal spots are just off the road now. And they're nice big grows out there, and they're beautiful, and they're all over here. You've got some in Santa Ana. You got a bunch out in, and you know, there's a bunch all over California.
Right.
But my point is to this story, and I don't know if you've seen this. They're estimating the crash because of so much being produced out here. That's going to be a bloodbath, is what the title was of the story. Have you personally seen, not that you're selling any weed anywhere, but you got a lot of friends that may. Have you seen the prices drop down tremendously yet? I know it's October's right around the corner, so it's Croptober. I'm assuming and guessing in Croptober we're going to see this.
So look, every year, okay, there's two things that happen. There's a lot of weed smoke and a lot of weed grown. But October is Croptober, and generally it's super flooded, right? Because the market starts to crash every single year. Every year since cannabis has been in the game. And that's because the farmers have this outdoor crops. The greenhouses are all coming down. There's just so much an abundance. So the price of cannabis goes, boom, drops. Now, while that's happening, there's a huge, October goes through, November goes through, right around December, the whole industry stops. Like, I'd say the 10th to the 15th, right around there, the whole industry stops from the 15th till after New Year's. Because in the illicit market, the legacy market, the illegal market, however you want to paint that picture, anybody who was selling, asking you for cannabis from the 15th to like the 5th of January, usually didn't pay you back until the 5th of January, if ever, because they're all buying themselves family gifts and all this other stuff. So the golden ticket was like, yo, we hustle, 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 hustle. And then the first week, maybe of December, second week, you're like,
it's
you're
dry.
You're stopping. I would always stop. And I learned that after 5 years in a row going, what the, every damn year.
Every New Year's, I'm starting off searching for money.
Because, and then, you know, you're good. Cats that are really good operators, they still disappear on you that whole time. But then it's like, yeah, sorry, I'm back in the mix here. Boom, boom. They cop it, re-up it somehow. But a lot of them just disappear off the map after that because they go, oh, yeah, let me get 10, 20, 30 pounds. And then they go buy themselves Christmas. They have this amazing Christmas for their family, and then they disappear. So in the legal market, though, you know, looking at this and saying, listen, you know, all these outdoor farms are going to have massive amounts of farming. They're going to come really strong. And then all of a sudden, you're going to come in through this whole process where, you know, you've got new operators all over the country. Now, what is going to be a weird change. Now, everybody always still wants Cali Bud or cannabis from Cali, however you want to say it. That's always going to be a thing. But the truth is that are they going to sell it?
You know, I mean, they need to sell now what they're expecting by looking. I mean, this is mid-2021. Looking at all this data that they're having, they're saying that we should be putting together 6 million pounds of cannabis. That's a shitload. That's a lot.
It's
a lot
not
of
that much.
For the legal market only?
Yeah.
Let alone, hold on, Blue. Well, I'm saying this. This is what they're saying for the legal market.
Right.
And they're saying the illicit market is three times more than that.
Yeah, but you have to imagine this.
So you're looking,
Joe,
at 18 million pounds.
Think about it like this. Think about it like, you know, that's like a one good quarter. But now, of the year, because what's happening is that the illicit market is still in full swing. A lot of people don't realize that cannabis is in full swing in the illegal market. How do we know? Because it's happening. And because just every single person that, you know, buys cannabis doesn't go to a dispensary. And if they do go to a dispensary, most of those dispensaries are still illegal. So when is the BCC, the United States, the, you know, Californias, the cities are going to crack down on these guys that are straight on Front Street? They're right there.
Well, mostly in California, that is, not across the board. I mean, you're looking at Oklahoma and other states.
Oklahoma's wide open for everybody.
I mean, they're just open. They're letting them open up like wildfires. So my point is they don't even have a lot of illegal ones there. When we were in Colorado, they said they put the shutdown on Colorado ones. They're still slanging on the side. Don't get me twisted.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying the illegal storefronts aren't as popular as they are in California across the country.
Look, when we come back, I want to tell you about a few things that I know about, like, Colorado and these other states. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. Listen, I mean, right before break, Joe, I mean, we were talking about, you know, different states and stuff, right? And there's some interesting stories and things that are happening nationally and internationally. So when Colorado, you know, had this big boom, they beat California to the punch about, like, you know, really going licensing legally and everything else. Colorado beat it, which was surprising to me because I thought for sure it was going to be, you know, Cali. But we actually kind of had some insight, and we had some people that were, you know, recruiting us because we're in the mix. And I literally had people, you know, flying me to Colorado, taking me around, showing me the dance and telling me, hey, we want to buy this facility. What do you think about that facility? And, you know, We my brother and I went out there and we went around and did our dance and looked at some properties and actually had an opportunity to move there and didn't move there because I didn't want to leave California, right?
It's hard to leave.
It's really hard.
It's really hard to leave. You go out of town, you visit other places, you come back home, you're like, man, it's still beautiful here. The weather's still great. I'm not sticky.
Yeah, when you got a family and, you know, and you care and everything else, it's difficult. And when you're young and you're just by yourself, you still don't want to leave if you got family and friends here. But I'll tell you what, so while that was happening, though, you know, there was an abundance of cannabis inside of Colorado. So what happened is these licensed operators, and this is, you know, my opinion, right? Because I couldn't prove it. But I could tell you that I
like opinions.
Yeah, my opinion is pretty strong, and I'm pretty right about it, is that they were bringing it into other states, New Mexico, bringing it into wherever they could take it from Colorado, which is illegal. And the reason they were doing that is because the
Who was doing that?
The operators, the licensed operators. So the licensed operators, so imagine this, Joe. Imagine if you just invested, you know, $17 million into a grow, or let's just say $5 million. You just invested $5 million into a grow. You got your first harvest, and you got $3 million worth of cannabis out of it. Let's just say one big, huge grow, or $1 million. But you didn't have the infrastructure to sell it. Meaning that there wasn't enough buyers going to stores to buy your $1 million worth of weed. And if it was, you didn't have it all set up to get it.
So you still need to sell it somewhere.
So where does it go?
Oh, yeah.
Now the question is, are you going to burn it? Because, you know, you got to get rid of it. Like the bureaus, the cannabis bureaus are telling you, hey, if you can't sell it this way, you've got to get rid of it. Do you burn it? Do you turn it in and say no? Hell no. You go back to what you know. And then you say, well, hey, we destroyed it. And then we backdoored it and moved it. And who's telling? Who's knowing? Who's what? That's the reality of what's happening in cannabis.
And you know that's going down 100%.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen until it's completely federally illegal, and it's just in every single store. And there's only a few people that know how to deliver it and get it into every single store like that. There's not a lot of people that know how to distribute like that. And
big distribution. That's big money and time about, and packaging and everything else. And
yeah, you're talking about Philip Morris, right? You're talking about tobacco. Right, you're talking about
Costco's Kirkland, yeah,
Kirkland's, right? How do they get it into
your
stores?
Budweiser's?
Yes,
with branches and things all over the country, big ones too, not little ones.
Yeah, Walgreens, Walmart's, you know, things of that nature, right? Because they have the distribution chains, they have the trucks to get to every state and every country. Like, think about it,
the distribution centers to move it there, then let those other trucks come and keep moving it from other spots
and understand the logistics behind it, right? So you've got the guy that has $5 million that put $5 million, and maybe that guy was worth 20 because he spent 25% of his wealth on his deal. In order for him to set up that extra infrastructure, to understand how all that infrastructure works, and top of being an operator with the $5 million in his basket, you're now looking at somebody that has to dump their whole life savings into it, and it's not going to happen. So what my point to this is that, you know, a lot of these, you know, people forget that this is R&D stages. We're in research and development. And I always want to go back to that. And so before feds decide to say, hey, let's make this legal, let's see all these idiot operators do whatever they can. Let's watch them mess up. Let's watch them do more criminal activity. Let's watch them do only the right thing. And then let's come out and say, hey, this one works, that one works. We'll take this one. We'll take that one. Let's roll them all up and steam through them all. That's the game. I mean, I've been watching this happen the whole entire time. And to be honest with you, you know, you have all these states that are going to have massive amounts of cannabis, but their infrastructure is not set up to sell it yet.
And neither is California. California's making three times the amount of legal cannabis right now. You got to look at everything you're saying and going, where's it all going to go? The black market's going to be popping in October.
Of course it is. And
stock up if you got a dealer, because you should be able to get it hella cheap.
Even if you get it through a licensed facility, right?
That's what we recommend, by the way.
100%. Don't get it wrong. Yeah, we're not. Listen, I'm rooting for everybody that's in business to do successful, right? As long as you're doing the right thing and you're trying to do well, I don't judge you for your moves. But I'll tell you, you're forcing the hand, right? You're forcing people to have to make these moves, because it's either make that move or lose. So when you get to that position, right, even the great businessman, the morally person, he goes, man, my family's more important, brother. Like, I'm sorry, I had to make the move. And that's just how shit works. I mean, you can't grow, you know, a couple $100,000 worth of cannabis and go, oh, shit, I forgot. How am I going to sell it?
And it's funny, Blue, because check out this next store that's also going green, that's contained, they're saying it's contaminated weed, is flooding Oklahoma's market right now. And check this story out. There was a big problem. The owner of 1440 Processing was seeing lab results on over 90% of the cannabis he bought and submitted for testing had failed. Those failed batches came from cannabis growers who supposedly tested the cannabis themselves after their harvests. This is what they're saying. They were supposed to be up to standard outlined in Oklahoma state laws, and shouldn't have had evaluated levels of pesticides, heavy metals, or other dangerous chemicals, but they often did. There are over 2,000 medical marijuana dispensaries around Oklahoma, and this is one cannabis market that is said to be booming despite only having a medicinal market. You hear that, you guys? There's over 2,000 medical marijuana dispensaries around Oklahoma.
Well, let me share this with you.
I think they're going to be getting some of this California weed. And hold on, let me keep reading some of the story. Unfortunately, Lo, for some of the cannabis making out there, it's way into the market recently. There have been some issues spotted within the cannabis supply. There was some contaminated weed that has been allegedly found in the Oklahoma medical cannabis market, but with some industry experts finding a high number of samples coming back with bad results. They are allegedly seeing elevated levels, again, of pesticides and heavy metals and dangerous chemicals on the samples. I find that to be something that, in my opinion, we need a universal 50-state, if not fucking universe, testing, which I'm a big fan of the testing and all that stuff too. And I'm a fan, if you want to grow your own and buy somebody, like somebody's selling me some weed and you want to do it, do it. But for the legal, for the medical, your Oklahoma, your California, your Colorado, we all should have the same rules as we've gone to these different labs, beautiful labs, great things. But then you'll hear some shit like, well, this lab will put up the numbers.
I'm just
and this
about
and
to
that.
Say, dude, like, you know come what I'm saying? On, man. So, like, I know for a fact it's happening.
And my point is, I hate that that's an item that we see out there, right?
But it's an item even in the pharmaceutical world, right?
So, I don't know that for sure, but I would imagine man. It is. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying no. I just don't know. But I would roll the dice.
Well, think about
and
it.
And I'd put anything a lot. I'd put $99 on that. You know what I'm saying? I'd go in.
Anything that can and will happen, right?
I would think there's those labs that do that. Although in the pharmaceutical world, I think it may be a little
money
bit
creates
tighter because it's FDA and they
yeah,
gotta
but,
do.
But money creates
things,
you know
problems
opportunity.
And yeah, and but my point is, if Oklahoma
hold
is
on.
Have,
you think that Joe, but that's
I hope that actually I don't
it's
actually,
the
I don't,
FDA.
Chris, right. I don't think it. I hope it is what I'm saying. You're right.
You're hoping. Yeah,
I'm hoping
and
that
and
what I
naive,
think is this.
And you're being naive though by saying that yeah, all of them.
No, not all
no,
of them.
No, impossible.
I'm hoping that it's so, very limited. Like it's limited now.
It's not limited, though. That's the thing. So when I go back into this, and I'm not shitting on the operators that are doing it correctly or incorrectly or hyping that they're doing it correctly, but the facts are the facts, is that opportunity comes into play. People start making moves. And if you had, you know, a lab, let's call it X lab, say, hey, man, I could get you a better, higher quality cannabis results if you just use my services because my testing's better than theirs. And they go, really? Let me try to test the same exact cannabis. And then we take it to the same guy. We take it to X Lab. You take it to Z Lab. And guess what? X Lab decides to give you the true results. Let's just say they give you their best true results all across the board. But Z decides to give you a higher THC level. A better quality, better this,
with
better
a COA
that,
that shows that your cannabis is
great. And a verification behind it. Are you going to use next time you use it? And they don't even have to tell you anything. They just go, hey, dude, those guys must have not been using the state-of-the-art equipment like us.
They're still for-profit businesses.
Right. And
it's
so
hard, it's hard. I mean, you know, I'm just saying this contaminated stuff happened before in Colorado and Oregon, and we've seen it happen. And as we're, you know, going on a side note of these type of places, I'm just saying we need to have trusted, and it also needs to bleed into CBD. We need to be able to test to all this good CBD that's out there because not all brands are great brands and all great CBD. There's some people cutting corners. We've seen it happen with the vape pens and then putting fucking oils and different oils in there. And we just see these little stepping on routines from the old dope game, you know, analogy that it's still even working on when they're growing it. Stepping on, what can we do? Okay, let's just add these pesticides. Let this grow. Let that grow. Grow your shit right. Follow the rules for putting out good legal cannabis that's not going to hurt anybody. Because, I mean, the other flip side is this. Is it really going to harm anybody if it has these pesticides in them and these heavy metals? Possibly if they smoke enough. I mean, I don't know that answer either. I'm not a doctor or a scientist. I just know I'm sure that we smoked growing up a lot of that cannabis that had possibly a lot of those pesticides
and chemicals.
Well,
they're in the air, dude. I mean, listen, they're in our food. They blow it over. You know,
so it has to
mean?
Be like so, a certain legal amount, like the FDA. That's what my point is. We need to have some type of ruling that goes across the board. Like
there is, but the again, no matter what,
these test labs are gonna.
Well, the test labs are in on it, right?
Pull
some
it.
Everybody. Listen, what happens when you have a $30 million harvest? Okay, $30 million on the line. This is make or break you. And they say
you could pay off somebody with a couple mil. Hey, man, I'm gonna
your shit all tested dirty. You got to destroy it all.
Oh,
and you go, what? What do you do? You get a second opinion.
And you pay for that opinion. Hey, can you make sure this goes through?
And that happens in our court systems, in our lives, lease. And you know, I'm not
Joe,
saying
you've never paid to have a car pass the smog before.
You know what? I'm fortunate enough and bougie enough that I've never have, thank God.
Well, you're not from the hood, though, bro. You know,
I'm definitely from the hood, but I don't need to certify that enough. But I can tell you this: I never had to get a fake one done. They've all passed, thank God.
No, I'm just saying, like that happens so rampantly, right? That smog test, and that's exactly what it is. It's like, do we think that all these cars are actually passing smog? And then you go to Arizona, and they don't even need to pass smog. So he's like, you know what? Let me just take it to Arizona and register it there.
It came from this grow.
Dude,
there it is.
It's Cannabis Talk 101. When we come back, we'll have more for you. Joe? Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. Ladies and gentlemen, G4 Live Bud Tenders Award is going down at Resorts World, May 12th and 14th. Cannabis Talk 101 will be there.
I can't wait for these Bud Tender Awards.
Oh,
it'll
man.
It'll be my first time going. Did you go to the ones before?
You know, what's funny is I went to the last G4 Live and the Bud Tender
Awards.
G4
Live, but it wasn't. They didn't do the Bud Tender Awards. Like
no,
I've seen.
And I had heard about it, too. I just didn't get a chance to. And
I heard about it, too. So obviously we're here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember hearing about it, but we didn't go to it. And we didn't know all them that were throwing it like we do now.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like if I would have known, you know, the Keiths and the Maras and the people that are all attached to it, you know, the Amanda and Debrina and Julie. I mean, we know all their whole staff now. And to be honest, they're such good people. I would have definitely went on
just
that.
I would support it off GP.
100%.
Yeah.
And honestly, bud tenders, you know, they need that attention. I feel like a lot of people don't, you know, really get it that, you know, bud tenders are the first line, and it's talking about that cannabis and understanding when it comes in, having that training and understanding what you're selling these people is super important. You know what? You know, someone gives you a cannabis, especially someone like yourself, you don't smoke every day.
Yeah, so, I would like to know what is better for the head high or the body high or a pain high.
And what is a head high?
Yeah.
What is a body high? What am I looking for? And why sativa? Why indica? You know, and a lot of people
why
say,
hybrid?
Well, yeah. I personally, when they say that, I think almost every strain in the world is a hybrid now. Right, just because it's been so crossed and crossed and crossed. Now I think they're dominant, like indica dominant, sativa dominant. Unless you know, because even the guys that are like, yo, I've got the original, you know, skunk, right?
And then when you say that, you just take me back because there was nothing like smelling a skunk and going, oh, what is that? Oh, that smells like a killer skunk bud. Like,
yeah.
Oh. Just using that term skunk bud,
right,
was one of the best terms ever.
Well, and again,
tie sticks,
but even tie sticks though never got me like some skunk bud. And not only that, you know, like when you just would come into a room and you had a bag and it made the room smell like there was a skunk in there, that's when you knew you had some of the most potent weed ever, and more than likely was from Northern California.
Oh, 100%.
You know, right?
I'm going to bring you a tie stick tomorrow because I actually had somebody come and drop me off a couple hundred tie sticks over the weekend. And
a couple hundred of them.
It's actually amazing. I'll bring it so you can see it too.
Really?
It's quite amazing.
Like a full-on cannabis tie sticks?
They're already rolled
from
everything?
From a friend of ours.
Oh, no way. Yeah. They brought them over, huh? Were they already rolled?
They're already rolled, and they got their actually like sewn up on this little stick. It's like there's string around it, and it's like almost like sewn on this little stick. And it's like a cedar stick, and I guess they cured in the cedar barrel for 25 days or whatever.
And you smoke the cedar stick?
You don't smoke the stick. You kind of like break little pieces off the stick, and then you put it as like a topper, like you would keef or like
hash.
Yeah, it's more like a hash.
Okay.
So you don't actually smoke the whole stick.
Well, you just put it in the joint.
I mean, I did. I smoked the whole thing, and it was a good sense of me a high. You got the good little giggles, the laugh. Yeah. It was a fun time.
Now, do you smoke the rope around it?
Well, that's what I'm not 100% sure, but no.
But I'm sure you did anyways.
No, I didn't. I actually did unwind it.
It could have been hemp.
It could have been. But as you unwind it.
Why not? It's wrapped around it. Why not smoke it? Just burn it and let's see what happens.
I mean, that's the next step.
You didn't ask him, huh? You just said, I'm not going to call him an ass. I don't want to sound stupid.
I didn't want to at first, and then, you know, he's very long-winded as well, so I was like, ooh, do I go into the whole hour-long explanation? I mean, I already heard the hour-long of how they came from Thailand, and, I mean, they're wrapped, they've got the little, like, elephant little emblems on them and shit. Like,
it's funny how these drugs keep coming in from across, you know, the ponds of world,
that's
and
what
so
I'm
many
seeing,
things
though.
Keep coming in, like the Thai sticks, and even the Afghani fucking hero. What was he saying? Hold on. What drug do you think, because I didn't know this, because you weren't here for this interview, what drug do you think Afghanistan is known for and that they have their harvest coming up?
Well, only the biggest drug in the world, opioids.
Yes.
What one?
Heroin? Oxycodone?
Oxycodone's a full-on pill, though, that you got to make.
What does it come from?
I don't know.
The opiate plant?
Poppy.
Poppy seeds?
What is it that he said he had in Afghani?
Poppy.
Yeah, which is the poppy.
But my point is, call me whatever you want. Make fun of me all day. I had no idea that Afghanistan was known for that. That's where their money came from, the drug. I thought it was oils. Thought it was oil. I didn't know.
Or why do you think we're at war?
Once again, well, he didn't make it seem like that, though. So you say that. I don't think that's true.
You don't think it's for the money?
Not for drug money.
Why
possibly.
Do people go to war, Joe?
You tell us. You're an educated man.
You didn't look good. I just went over there because I didn't feel you looked good.
I'm just saying I talked to a Navy fucking raider who, you know, was explaining everything about Afghanistan.
Did you ask him if it was about money?
It always comes down to money.
Well, thank you.
I mean, he did say China's already in there grabbing resources.
But China's going to be taking over from in there.
Oh, they're going
to. And then we're
going
to be owing China more and everything else. So.
They're taking over our resources?
In
all resources.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They moved in. They moved their army in.
Well, while we sat there bullshitting, they went and came on
they
the
said,
side.
Oh, this stuff can't happen. We're going to do this.
Well, I think they just made the deal with them. He said they made the deal with them.
You missed a great one. You missed a great one.
Yeah, we're bit piecing so much of a great conversation. Like, you got it. You should have been a part of this.
I wish I would have been. Those kind of stuff.
But celebrating your mother's birthday is way better.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was
Speaking
important.
Of which, how was Priscilla's 35th birthday?
You know, it was great, you know, 35th.
She's
was
younger than you.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, we went out with all my uncles and my aunts, and we went out to a nice, beautiful dinner, my wife and myself, and we had a really good time. You know, it was very nice. I went out there also to, you know, look at some properties for some of the events coming up. But I'll tell you, you know, we had a nice Italian dinner, really nice. I got to go to the Circa afterwards with my mom, and we hung out at the casino for a couple hours there. Circa is a very nice hotel. Very nice hotel. I mean, I sent you that video of the pool.
Oh, that was so dope. Dude, that party was popping. How big was that pool? It was ridiculous.
Man, I mean,
I've actually never. It looked like a.
It was six pools.
It looked like you were at an event somewhere else where, like, there's so many pools. There are like 12 pools within the pool.
Yeah, so I think it's six pools that all connect to each other. So it's like boom, boom, boom. So it's like one, two, three, one, two, three, right? And then there's like grass in between each pool. And then you could walk into this one, go into the pool, go into the grass, walk into this one, go into the pool, go into the grass. And there's like cabanas and everything else. It was pretty fantastic.
It looked like a great time. We'll be in Vegas coming up soon, folks.
Well, there it is, guys. It's Cannabis Talk 101. And remember this. If no one else loves you,
we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.